آل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد اللهم صل على محمد اللهم صل على محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد. One of the lines that we find in the du'as of this month is to ask for Hajj. وارزقني حج بيتك الحرام في عامي هذا وفي كل عام. There are two brief reminders in regards to this that I would like to make on this night. One is that obviously when you have a dua repeated in the month of Ramadan specifically, then there is a connection between that dua, that supplication, that request, and the month of Ramadan. That should be something that would be understood automatically by seeing that line of dua repeated in so many du'as, in so many different supplications. In addition to that, we have hadith that suggests this is the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts giving the rizq, the sustenance for Hajj, to different people. This is the month that He allows a person to go to Hajj, or he is not given that opportunity, or she is given or not given that opportunity in this month. Recite a salawat, please. I don't want to say there's a connection between Hajj or asking for Hajj and fasting. There seems to be a connection between Laylatul Qadr, which is the night where the events of the following year, the various forms of sustenance for the following year, are approved of and are sent down or revealed upon the Imam of our time, who is the Wali of Allah in implementing those commands over the course of the next year. That's an idea that inshallah we will try to expound upon and explore more on the nights of Qadr, the connection of the nights of Qadr and the Imam of our time, or the Ma'soom, the living Ma'soom of every era, every time, every period. There's a connection between Laylatul Qadr and whether or not we are going to be going to Hajj the following year. But the point we understand, moving on to the second idea, Hajj itself, is that although all sustenance is decided upon and decreed and decided upon on Laylatul Qadr, and we are supposed to ask Allah for everything that we need, all forms of sustenance we are in need of, all spiritual forms of sustenance, all material forms of sustenance we are in need of and we should ask for, but this particular one is mentioned so many times it shows on one hand that it's very important for us to go. The other thing is, similar to what was mentioned, I think, last night about the دولة. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة. There's got to be a desire for it. There's got to be a want for what we are requesting. One of the things that we are encouraged in the month of Ramadan to develop is thinking about Hajj. Developing a desire and a want to go for Hajj. Sometimes when you see the imagery, some people, when they see Masjid al-Haram, when they see the Kaaba, when the time comes, Sidul Hajjah, or the time when people are leaving, some people leave earlier, towards the end of the Qa'dah, some earlier in the Hajjah, before the ninth, which is the beginning of A'mal. The time comes, the atmosphere, the imagery, hearing about people going, that just causes them to get emotional when they know they're not going. And some people are just careless. Don't really care. Oh, it's the Hajjah, okay. Maybe they'll even do the prayer that's supposed to be done on every night after Maghrib in order to make up those who don't get to go for Hajj. There's a 2-rak'ah prayer that can be done. And the hadith says it will count for Hajj. And I hope we believe that. There's an interesting story my father-in-law had. He said there was a time where an individual was leading prayers in the month of the Hajjah. And after the Maghrib prayer, he said, we'll take a break and we'll do this 2-rak'ah prayer. And he said, the person who was starting that prayer said to everybody, it counts for Hajj. And he wanted to start, I told him, well, stop, can you explain a bit more? You know, we'd like to join that too. And so he explained, this is the prayer, you do it in this way, and if you do it, it counts for Hajj. He said, okay. So we all got up, we did Hajj. And, sorry, we did Hajj, recite a salawat, please. So we did the prayer. That was Sunday night. Sunday night. Monday morning, I go to work. My friend, Shia, Muslim, says, Rahim, that's his name, says, have you been to Hajj? He said, no, I haven't been to Hajj. He said, but I had a dream of you last night that you went to Hajj. That's how it is, see? We don't believe these things. The problem, Atla Bahjat had mentioned this many times, the problem we have is we don't believe in what the Ahlul Bayt tell us. They've said, you do 10 rak'ah prayers. What's the connection between 2 rak'ah prayers every night and Hajj? What's it to you? God says you do this, I'll give you the same rewards as Hajj. You have been to Hajj. Even if you don't go there. There's people who want that, who desire it, who long for it, who think about it, who cry for it. And there's those of us that don't have that. One of the things we learn is in the month of Ramadan, we should develop that desire, that want, that longing for Hajj. The other point I would like to mention very briefly is why is Hajj so important? What's so special about Hajj? This is one of the a'mal that, or a series of a'mal actually for Hajj. Why is Hajj so important that in the month of Ramadan we need to be asking it so many times? And we're told to go for Hajj. Imam al-Mujtaba salamullah alayhi walked for Hajj 20 times. 20 years he walked to Hajj. Not in Hajj he was walking. He walked from Medina to Mecca for Hajj. 20 times. God knows how many more times he went through other or through transportation, some form, camel or whatever he used. Why is Hajj so important? Both when you look at the context in which it was introduced, which is by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when you look at what he did and how the different rituals of Hajj came to be what they are, and when you look at it by itself and you think about and you analyze, you start to realize this is an extremely important worship that helps a person submit to Allah and become a real and true Muslim. We need submission. We need to submit to Allah. How so? How is this special? When you look at how it was introduced, two examples I will give. The journey between Safa and Marwa is when Hajar, the second wife of Ibrahim, was brought to a desert without any water, without any food, without anyone. A mother and a baby were left there because God said, not a careless person being careless, because God said, leave her there and go back. Don't even spend an hour with them. God told Ibrahim. It's a very difficult test he went through. And it wasn't only Ibrahim that was going through the test. Hajar was going through the test as well. She didn't complain. She didn't complain. She stayed there. Obviously, there's no water. Ismail gets thirsty. She's the only thing she can do is look for water. And she went on one hill. They call it mountain. It's not too tall. Thought she saw water on the other, went to the other, back and forth, back and forth, back seven times. There was no water. She only did what she could out of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that water beneath the feet of Ismail. That going between Safa and Marwa seven times represents the submission I don't think any of us, 99.9% with a bar on top,
Вот.